John, one thing I just love about nature is how enormously clever it can be.
For instance?
For instance, how it creates color. What do you say we talk about that? This is Science Matters. I'm Jerry McCoy.
And I'm John Henshaw.
Most people know that color can be created with pigments.
Pigment, that's the colored powder that you mix with a liquid in order to make a paint or ink or something like that.
Some form of pigmentation is responsible for lots of the color that we see every day. The green that we see in grass and leaves, for instance, that's due to a group of green pigments that we call chlorophyll.
And isn't melanin the pigment responsible for the color of skin?
Right. Now, here's how pigmentation works. White light, say from the sun, is mostly an equal mixture of all the colors of the rainbow. When sunlight shines on a pigmented material, say grass, the chemical bonds in the molecules of chlorophyll absorb the blue and the red light in that white sunlight really well, but the green light, not so much. The unabsorbed green light gets reflected and scattered to our eyes, leaving us with the visual sensation that grass is green.
And even more so on the other side of the fence.
Ha! With pigmentation, no new color is created. Instead, what you get is the leftovers from colors that are subtracted out of white light.
So what you're telling me, though, is that nature has another, even more clever way to create color besides pigmentation.
Well, it's all pretty clever, but the color of some materials, for instance, is due to the way light reflects off myriad microscopic structures in a phenomenon called structural color. In structural color, the material may not even have any color of its own, a pigment, that is.
Okay, I need to hear more.
Well, think back to the last time you walked across a parking lot on a drizzly day. Do you remember seeing any concentric puddles of color?
Absolutely, right where cars had been parked and they had dripped oil.
Well, interestingly, oil doesn't have much color on its own. Well, certainly not the various shades of yellows, blues, violets that you saw on the pavement. The colors you saw, structural colors, arose from the way the daylight reflected off the thin layer of oil on top of the wet pavement.
All right, I'm with you so far.
Well, some of the light reflected off the top surface of the oil film, and some traveled on through the film to reflect off the water surface underneath. The light that traveled through the oil had to go a bit further than the light that reflected off the top surface. So some of the colors in the two reflected light waves arrived at your eye out of kilter, and they canceled each other out, while some arrived in sync and reinforced each other. So the result? Your eyes saw the reinforced colors, but not the canceled colors.
So with pigmented materials, the color that you see is the leftovers that the pigment doesn't absorb. But with structural colors, the colors you see depend on the structure of the material, such as its thickness, but not on any pigmentation. But you also mentioned something about a myriad of microscopic structures. What's that all about?
A key aspect of what you saw on the wet pavement was that the oil film was thin, close to the wavelength of visible light, which is about 1/100th the diameter of a human hair. Now, remember the last time you looked at light reflecting off a CD or a DVD?
Why, yes. I saw a rainbow of colors, and I'm guessing that those are structural colors as well.
Exactly. The structural colors you saw reflected from the CD were due to the same thing that caused the oil film colors, just on steroids.
Okay. So how's that?
Well, in the case of a music CD, there can be several 100 million microscopic bumps impressed on the disc surface that encode the music, each about 1/1000th of a meter long. So instead of light reflecting off just 2 closely spaced surfaces, it's reflecting off millions of closely spaced surfaces, again about the wavelength of light, then recombining to form a rainbow of structural color.
And all of this occurs naturally as well.
Yes, the brilliant colors of a peacock's tail feathers. Remember the eyes on their feathers? That's one example of natural structural color arising from microscopic structures.
So what more is there about a peacock's tail feathers than meets the eye?
Well, their feathers contain organized layers or rods that reflect light, resulting in the eyes that you see of blue, purple, turquoise. Similar microstructures exist in butterfly wings, fish scales, opals, even milk.
Okay, so butterfly wings and fish scales, I can wrap my arms around that, but milk?
Yeah, they're micro droplets of fat that have a wide range of sizes, scatter all the visible wavelengths of light, creating milk's familiar opaque whiteness.
And what about opals?
Well, there, the structural color is due to tiny, ordered, light-scattering silica spheres, sand. In fact, nature has lots of ways it produces structural color. There are rays of microscopic Christmas tree structures, grids of bowl-shaped dimples, crystalline arrays of holes or hollow fibers, even disorderly patterns of spongy structures. And since these microstructures can sometimes be shifted around, say, by a bird during courtship, ooh la la, the colors you can see abruptly change.
Okay, so you've convinced me. Nature does seem to be quite clever in the way that it goes about doing some pretty common-sounding things.
From the University of Tulsa, this is Science Matters. I'm Jerry McCoy.
And I'm John Henshaw.